Luke 17. We'll be looking at Jesus' teaching on the 10 lepers. Luke 17. I love how the Holy Spirit works. He speaks to us if we will but listen. I don't think I shared today's message with Pastor Kunda, and yet he came up with the Psalm 136, His mercy endureth forever. Pastor, can I read this? And it just fits right in, so... it's just great the way God works in our lives. He's good all the time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Are you there? Luke 17. I'm not there. I got to get there. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. We see these 10 lepers standing off at a distance in this story. Why were they standing off at a distance? Exactly. You know, that was the custom. When somebody had leprosy, they had to stay away from people because it was contagious. And so they were standing off, and often... if you've ever seen people with leprosy, you know, they have sores, fingers and toes are cut off, they just are deformed, and they have, a lot of times they'll have bandages all over them because they can't really even feel when they injure themselves. And, I've actually seen lepers. I've been in Nigeria driving along the road in a bus. And there were lepers wrapped in, you know, cloths, and they'd be out on the road trying to stop the bus and to beg. I've also, in India, gone to a leper colony, literally. And we cooked food for them and sat with them and prayed for them and laid hands on every one of them. And it's, we're shocked when we see people with leprosy because we think it just happens in the Old Testament times. But it's still... here in this present world. But look at what's happening in this story. Jesus was passing by. He was on his way, and he was working his way down to Jerusalem. And if you can, in your mind, kind of picture a map, and up at the top would be Galilee. At the top of the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, that would be the town of Galilee. And Jesus is walking from there, and he's got to walk through Samaria in order to get down to Jerusalem. I calculated it out one time, and I think it's about 90 miles walking distance. So Jesus was on his way there, and he sees these lepers. They're standing off a distance, and they call out to him, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And I think we just kind of read through this pretty quick, and we don't catch on to the significance of this. How is it that these people in Samaria believe that Jesus is Master and he has the ability to heal them? That's kind of interesting. In Matthew 8, right after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus came down from the hillside or wherever he was preaching, and he healed a man of leprosy immediately. Just right there. He healed him. And, you know, word spreads within communities. It's fascinating how in, let's say, the jail community, how word will spread. They, They don't even have to be in the same jail. This jail will somehow pass word on to another jail. It's interesting. So within any community, even the leprosy community, word will get passed around. Jesus is the one that can heal you from leprosy. So we find this interesting scenario that they are standing up asking Jesus to have mercy on them. And leprosy, in case you aren't familiar with, in the Old Testament, it was usually a punishment for sin. God would put leprosy on the people as a punishment for sin, and they were supposed to go outside the camp for 7 days, and in order to be able to come back in to camp, they had to be pronounced clean, cleansed. Leprosy was gone, and the person that pronounced them that way was the priest. They would have to come in, show themselves to the priest, and if they were cleansed, they had to take an offering, and I don't remember all the little details, but it was the priest, not a doctor. It was the priest who pronounced them clean. Kind of fascinating. So here we have these lepers calling out to Jesus, heal us, have mercy on us. And Jesus tells them to go and show yourself to the priest. And this is why. Because in the Old Testament, this is what God said in the Mosaic Law, that if you had leprosy, this is what you were to do. You had to follow these things and then go show yourself to the priest. And until the priest pronounced you clean, you could not come into the camp. So Jesus tells him, go show yourself to the priest. Well, why would he do that? I just told you in Matthew 8 how Jesus had cleansed that previous leper immediately, right? That leper, he didn't say to the leper, go show yourself. He just healed him right away. So why would he tell these 10 to go to the priests? Well, part of it, I think, has to do with Jesus wanting to demonstrate to the priests that he is here. God is here. The healer is here. He wanted these lepers to be the witnesses to the priests. The second part of verse 14, notice, it says, and as they were going, they were cleansed. What do we pick up out of that? The principle I see in that is, when God speaks, when he tells us what to do, we start doing it. And then we will experience God. Huh? Our natural tendency is, no, God, show me that you're real. You know, bless me. Fill up my coffers first, and then I'll go. I'll be faithful. You just, you know, give me everything I need. I'll be faithful. Isn't that our natural tendency? But what God wants us to do is go and do. We walk, and then we will experience God. We see that all through the Bible and all the people he dealt with. Go and do. Don't be a hearer only. Be a doer of the word as well. You know, I think of Pastor Kunda. He just came over here. We had never met. He had never been to Colorado. He had never seen snow. He didn't know what it was all about. Yeah. And he came. And he, because of his faith and his obedience, he's experiencing God in a powerful way. And likewise, we get the blessing of experiencing and working alongside him. So, there's another thing I notice in here. You notice how the lepers were standing at a distance. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And don't we do the same thing? When we, you know, sinners and those who are sick, we want to shout at Jesus from a distance. We don't want to come up to him, come before him. We want to shout at a distance. We don't want to come into his presence and be held accountable. We want to just stay out in our own little place and shout at Jesus from a distance. Jesus, have mercy on me. I think that's kind of interesting. We know, no matter who you are in the world, we know that sin is offensive to God. And our human nature is we would rather live with our sin and try to shout at Jesus from a distance than to drop our sin and become accountable to Jesus. Come before Him. Come accountable to Him. Well, again, notice that He said, go. They went, and along the way they were cleansed. Keep your finger here and turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Kings is on the left-hand side of Psalms, probably 6 or 8 books back. Turn to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a great story, and it's quoted in the New Testament. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. This is another story about leprosy and being healed from leprosy. You're going to notice some differences as we read this. Now, Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now, the Arameans had gone out in bands and taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now, as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Verse 7. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. Notice how different this is. This is not going to the priest. There's a different process here, different method of being healed. Verse 11, how did Naaman respond? But Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, of the God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpah, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Isn't this true of us? We want to dictate to God how to do our miracle. And often we hear the word of God through someone, telling us what to do, telling us how to be healed. And we don't want to do it. It sounds either too corny or too easy. We want to have the great man of God come out, you know, and wave his hand and do all these, you know, fantastic, exciting things. But when God quietly tells us, just go and dip 7 times. Back to Luke 17. Beginning again with verse 15. Look at the difference in this. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. This is one of the 10 lepers that were told to go show themselves to the priest. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. What's the significance of that? The Samaritan, they were looked down upon by the Jews. They were considered to be the ugly stepchildren, dogs. But he is the only one that came back out of the 10. They were all cleansed. He's the only one that came back. 17. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. So we see this one leper comes back. He gives thanks. He glorifies Jesus, the healer, the source. And it's a faith demonstration, isn't it? The thankfulness is a faith demonstration. This man was healed both physically and spiritually. Those other 9 lepers, they went into town to the priest, to the temple, and they were still healed physically, but they did not receive the spiritual healing that this one did. And I ask, how many people in this world do we see that receive favor from God, receive healing, receive blessing, but they never come back to Jesus to say thank you? The favor, the healing does not change their heart. We've all seen it. People get in a car accident and they should have died. It's horrific. But when they come back out of the hospital, are they praising and glorifying God? No. They might acknowledge it, you know, on a just an offhand comment. But it doesn't change their heart. So the point here is that without thankfulness, without obedience, we can receive healing, but it's going to be temporal. What do I mean by temporal? It's going to exist just while we're here physically on earth. What kind of healing do you want?
Eternal.
Eternal, amen. In other words, physical healing only is kind of short-sighted, isn't it?
I'm going to leave a nice carcass.
So, the question today is, are you one of the 9 or are you the 1 in 10? Are you the 1 in the 9 or the 1 in the 10? All right, I want to finish up with a couple lesson points here. We have what I call leper principles. Are you going to live by leper principles? Ingratitude is a sin. Thanklessness is a common sin. Have you noticed this morning that so much of what we were worshiping with was all about giving thanks and God's mercy? We need to. Thanklessness results in bitterness and isolation. How can I say that? How does that work? If you are not thanking God for both His healing and also the trials and tribulations, it will result in bitterness, right? Because you're not thanking God, you're blaming God, or you're blaming something. You get bitter. Once you start to get bitter, you begin to isolate yourself because nobody wants to be around a bitter person. You can be bitter, and people will just kind of gradually fade out of your life. And you end up isolated. You see how that works? That's thanklessness. Remember Job. In chapter 3, verse 1, I'll just read it for you here. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived." That's some bitterness, isn't it? Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived." In other words, he was saying, "Oh, that I had never been born." That was the answer to his solution. It is. But how many of us speak the same thing? We may not use those words.
Yeah, one day I was whining and crying a whole bunch. Wish I wasn't born. My mom said, "Well, we didn't plan on you." Seriously?
Yeah.
After my elder sister, miscarried, the doctor said there could be no more. Hello?
Yeah. How destructive is that? Well, you know the story of Job. He spent, 35, 38 chapters commiserating, having a pity party with a few of his friends. And then finally God says, "Okay, I've had enough. Now let me speak to you." Okay. And he gives him a powerful sermon. And what was Job's response? In 42, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes.'" And he went on to say that he's going to follow God, and that, at the end of the day, God is all. We need to give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, so there's this point in time, this day, this season, Christmas is coming up. We just passed Thanksgiving, and Christmas is coming up. The sad thing about holidays is it is supposed to be a time of joy and happiness, but so many people are depressed during those holidays, right? You know how many crimes of passion and anger happen on the holiday that is supposed to be happy?
Suicide
too, yeah. And why is that? We need to guard our hearts and our spirits during these holiday seasons. And if you'll hang on just a second, I'm going to give you a principle that you can use during the holidays if you find yourself in this situation, if you find your heart getting depressed, because it happens. All right, we looked at the leper principles. Now let's look at the healed principles, or call them life principles, if you will. The importance of giving thanks. Why is that so important? It releases spiritual healing and blessing. If we whine and complain to God, does that move Him? Job And his friends whined for 38 chapters. And then God just told them the way it is. So we have to be thankful. Whining and moaning does not release spiritual healing and blessing. Bitterness does not release that. But giving thanks will release spiritual healing and blessing. And what is the peril of not acknowledging the source of blessing? As I said earlier, you receive only the temporal healing. But you don't receive the spiritual healing, which is what we really want and need. That joy, that peace that passes all understanding. Let's finish up with one last scripture. 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn to the right several books, before you get to Hebrews, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. First Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always. Huh? That's not rejoice just when things are going good. That's not rejoice just when you feel blessed by God. You were supposed to rejoice when?
Always.
Amen. And then pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can we do this? We can only do it through a spiritual ability. We cannot do it in and of ourselves. But if we will, in faith, believe this scripture, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, what will happen? God will release those spiritual blessings and healing. So, this is that key, that pearl of wisdom. If you find yourself during the holidays getting depressed, getting down, and it's very common, it can happen to any one of us, if not all of us. There's a way out. There's no temptation such as common to man, but He has given us a way out. And I'm telling you what that is right now. It is to give thanks. You know, however you do that, if you want to run around the house with your hands up saying, thank you, Lord. If you want to turn on some music and just start worshiping and singing, if you want to pray, read the Word, whatever way you have of giving thanks, it will snap you out. Because if you follow the leper principles, you know where that leads you. In Jesus' name, amen.